morning and happy Monday. We are April 15th, 2024. We're going through the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day, which is Proverbs 15. The question that I had today actually started with my son this morning, Maddox. And my son is one of the most positive guys in the world. He jumps out of bed. He's just like, you know, it's going to be a great day, all these things. And I asked him today, I said, son, are you going to have a good day today? And he said, I don't know, Dad, it's Monday. And so it sent me down this whole entire kind of rabbit hole this morning of, is a good day a choice? And so I was trying to pump him up on the way to school. I was telling him all the things that he was doing great, but I noticed that he was still down. His light was a little bit dim. And so then I asked my daughter, she's 15 years old, and you can imagine a 15-year-old is going through a lot of changes, and she's in high school as a freshman. She's got all these things. And I asked her, she was kind of, you know, up today. And I said, can you choose to have a good day, or is it just circumstantial? And she was like, well, generally, if I'm going to school, it's not going to be a good day. And so I asked her, I said, so it's circumstantial. And she was like, I never really thought about it, but I guess. Then I called my friend Paula, one of my best friends in the entire world. I hadn't talked to her in a while, and it was amazing because when she answered the phone, there was so much joy. We got a chance to be able to reminisce. This is one of my best friends since eighth grade. And I asked her, she's a high school counselor, and I asked her, like, is a good day a choice? And she was like, well, there's a lot of determining factors. She said, I work with high school kids, so sometimes they're going through changes, hormonal, in their body. She said that, you know, as we get older, too, we go through the other side of those changes. So, yes, it can be circumstantial. I reached out to my brother, Brad. He said that, you know, if you create a routine to kind of get you out of it, you can choose to have a good day. I did text a couple other people, and they didn't even answer me. And what was great about it is that every person that I called kind of had a different little twist on it. And so I went to that question, is a good day a choice? Now, as opposed to doing a commercial, like running a commercial right now, like we generally do, I'm going to run the commercial. You need to pick up the vibe. It's the book, The Vibe. It's the missing ingredient that changes everything. And what it wraps around is your heart set, which is your beliefs, your mindset, which is your intentions, and your skill set, which is your actions, which creates an irresistible vibe. And then you don't have to worry about your offering, your price, or your product. Just people fall in love with the way that they feel. The vibe is not the energy that you bring into the room, but it's simply the way that people feel when you leave. And so right in line with that, as far as the vibe, I started to think about, like, can I have a good day if I choose to? Well, when I talk to high-performing people, some people would be like, well, if you run a mile and you cold plunge and you do all these things, you're going to have a good day. But then I started to ask, like, well, what if circumstantially something happens? Your dog dies. A relative dies. Can you still choose to have a good day? Well, I took this to the word because I always want to make sure that I filter every single thing with 3,000-year-old wisdom. And whenever I have a question, I like to ask my friends. I like to ask, bring counsel in, things like that. And that's what we went through. But also what I like to do is I like to take it to the Lord because I believe that, you know, his wisdom is way above ours. And so in Proverbs 15, the corresponding proverb, corresponding day, is 3,000-year-old wisdom. It actually, God directed my eyes to Luke 11, verse 34 and 35, which I contemplated this morning. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light, no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when you when a lamp shines its light on you. Let me read a little bit of it again. Your eye is a lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is healthy and full of light. So what God was saying there is that it's a lot about what we see, what we put ourselves around, and we choose to do that, right? So we think about that with our, you know, with podcasts. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to me. You know, corresponding proverb, corresponding day, it's 3,000-year-old wisdom. when you're seeing this and you're lifting up and you're filling yourself full of what God has for you, then your heart gets full. When your heart gets full, it overflows, and then that comes out your mouth. So what we hear, what we see, what we become aware of through the senses, that's what brings light into our heart. And when our heart is overflowing with light, then that light is going to come out of our mouth. And when we speak life out of our mouth, then other people will hear it. Other people will see it. It'll fill them, and that will spread. It's an amazing concept, but again, I had the question, is a good day a choice? And we're going to run through this. So in number one, God asked me, he said, are you speaking life? And in verse one in Proverbs 15, it says it right away, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. In verse two, it says the tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. In verse number four, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but the perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Verse number seven, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not upright. Verse number 11, and this was interesting because I've never seen this happen, but there was a couple in my own study. And this, again, this is my study. It's not me telling you what to do, but it's just me studying the word and then asking questions. And this is what God's been telling me. Death and destruction lie before the Lord, but how much more do human hearts? And this one, I circled it because it's actually in the second one, which is, what do you see? So what do you see? What you see goes into your heart. When your heart overflows, then you speak it out your mouth. So are you speaking life? But he hit me in that verse. And in verse 14, it talks about the discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. Verse number 20. A wise son brings joy to his father. A foolish man despises his mother. Verse 23, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply. How good is a timely word? How many times have you had a timely word in your life that just what came at the right time and someone spoke life to you? In verse number 30, light in the messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Light in a messenger's eyes, what do you see? Brings joy to their heart, fills up the heart. Good news actually has to be said, gives health to the bones. So it's amazing because, like, when I asked, is a good day a choice? God was asking me, he answered right away with a question. Are you speaking life to people? Well, if you're speaking life to people, then your heart has been filled up with light. If your heart is filled up with light, then it overflows, and that overflow of your heart comes out your mouth. So the next one is, he asked me, what do you see? In verse number three, in Proverbs 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. What do you see? Number 11, death and destruction lie open before the Lord, but how much more do your human hearts? God sees exactly what is in your heart. So what are you seeing? Verse number 14, the discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. That's, again, another one that was in Speak Life. So this is another repeat. And in verse 30, it's another repeat that says, the light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. What do you see? He asked me the third question, do you have thought of the future? And this was wild. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through every one of these verses, because I believe that this was the biggest part of it. Is a good day a choice? And what God gave me in this is, it teeters on the fact of, do you have thought of the future, or do you have prudence? See, thought of the future, if we're looking at it and saying, well, thought of the future is, you know, not looking at my specific time, but just looking at how I can, like, what's going to happen overall. That my wife always tells me, everything turns out okay. Everything turns out okay. I had an appointment on Wednesday, and I'm supposed to be flying to Vegas, and I called her to reschedule, and then she said she couldn't reschedule, and then guess what happened this morning? She reached out to me, and guess what? She actually planned another trip, so she had to cancel anyway. So she was going to cancel anyway. I made my plans. Everything's going to be okay. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. That's what John Paul said. So in verse number five is, a fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Verse number six, The house of the righteous contain great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings ruin. Verse number 8. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. Do you have thought of the future? And then it goes on in verse 9 and verse 16, verse 17, verse 18, verse 19, verse 22, verse 24, verse 27 and 29. I'll just finish with 29. But if you go through with your study on this, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Do you have thought of the future? And then the next question that he asked, do you invite failure or correction? See, people say this all the time. Failure is not an option. Well, with God, failure is an option sometimes because he wants you to fail so you can learn the lesson, and correction is okay. As long as we invite it into our life. When we invite it, it takes on a completely different, I believe a completely different identity when we invite correction as opposed to it happen to us. In verse 10, it says, stern discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path. The one who hates correction will die. That's pretty strong. And then mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Have you ever avoided someone who's wise because you didn't want to hear the truth? I do. A lot of times. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. So do you invite failure into your life? Do you invite correction? And then question number 5 was, what's in your heart? And this was verse number 13. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. And in verse 14, we already read that one. In verse 15, it says, the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. What's in your heart? What are you filling your heart up with? In verse 15, verse 28 and verse 30 is that. So you can do a little bit of study there. The sixth question that he had is, are you seeking wisdom? And so is a good day a choice? He asked me, are you seeking wisdom? Well, how can I seek wisdom? By fearing God. How do I fear God? By respecting him, right? So respect and fear, switch those words around. And the only way that I can really truly fear God is if I respect him, but I can't respect him unless I spend time with him. So if I spend time with him, then I'll see that his character and his words are right in line and all his actions are in line with those words, that character and those actions. So that way I am able to say that, wow, I can fear you. I can respect you. And then when you respect God, then he brings wisdom, which is the right use of knowledge. When he brings that knowledge, then he'll bring understanding. He'll bring insight. He'll bring discretion. He'll bring discipline. And then he'll bring strength. And that'll lead us right back to the fear of God. So in verse number 21 says, folly brings joy to one who has no sense, but whoever has understanding keeps a straight course. Am I seeking wisdom? Verse number 26, it says, the Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but the gracious words are pure in his sight. Are you seeking wisdom? And it's almost like he brings it right around to me when I say, is a good day a choice? He asked me, are you seeking wisdom? Meaning, are you spending time with me? And the last question that he had was, are you spending time with me? Are you shutting down the phone? Are you shutting everything off? And are you taking the time to be able to commune with me? The corresponding proverb for the corresponding day. First, I read it, but now it starts to read me. Today, it read me, and it read me like an open book. I came in with this question of like, oh, wow, I'm going to get this philosophy. And then God was saying, like, let me ask you a couple questions. When you're talking about constructing a good day, it has to do with personal, professional, spiritual, financial, all those aspects, because one little circumstance in those areas, one of those areas could change everything for you in your personal life. Imagine if you had a relative pass away, if you had a friend get hurt or whatever it was, it could interrupt your day. In the professional side, what if somebody treated you wrong at work, communicated with you wrong, said something wrong to you, or you lost a deal? Imagine the financial side. We all have had this happen before where unforeseen circumstances happen financially. What about in the spiritual side of it? And what God was saying to me today is, are you spending time with me? Are you spending time with me? And that's verse 33. It says, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Right? Wisdom's instruction, so how do we get wisdom? Through the fear of God, is to fear God. So if I fear God, I get wisdom, and wisdom will always tell me to fear God, which will get me more wisdom, which is the right use of knowledge. And then it takes me to knowledge. It takes me to understanding, insight, discretion, discipline, strength, and then on back to it. And then it says humility comes before honor, meaning that the pride comes before the fall. If I get prideful about my routine and I think I can force a good day to happen, God is kind of laughing and saying, why don't you just come to me? Why don't you just come to me? Because I have thought of the future. And so the next time when you ask yourself, or maybe I'm asking myself, is a good day a choice? God asked these questions of me. He didn't give me an answer. And this is what frustrated me a lot. And this frustrated me with my parents too. Am I speaking life? Meaning, is my heart full of life? What do I see? Do I have thought of the future? Do I invite failure into my life and correction? What is in my heart? Am I seeking wisdom? And then am I spending time with him? It comes back to that question, is a good day a choice? I guess you'll have to answer that. Proverbs 15, the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day. It has been my absolute pleasure hanging with you. My name is Kelly Cardenas, and I'm officially off the hot seat. Peace, love, and soul.